Okay, let's get into this. We've got a whole stack of material in front of us. We're talking engineering reports, tech white papers, some pretty heavy ethical analyses.
Yeah.
And it all seems to point to one thing. This vehicle that's making us rethink what a car even is. We're doing a deep dive on the Sony Honda Mobility Project, the Afela.
And it's so important to say this isn't just, you know, another new electric car hitting the market.
Right.
This is basically the starting gun for a whole new era. The software-defined vehicle, or the SDV.
SDV.
I mean, think about it. Historically, software was just a feature, right? Something they bolted onto a mechanical thing. With Afela, that whole idea just flips on its head.
So the hardware, the motor, the wheels, all of that is just the platform.
Exactly. It's just a standard platform for running code.
So I guess what we're trying to do here is really understand what happens when a car is treated less like a Honda engine and more like a Sony computer on wheels.
Yeah, and what that actually means for you, the person who owns it. Your car goes from being this fixed physical thing to, well, to a piece of consumer electronics that's always changing.
This is our way of getting ahead of what feels like the biggest shift in transportation since, I don't know, the assembly line.
And that whole split is, it's basically written into the DNA of the company itself. Sony Honda Mobility, SHM.
The division of labor is pretty stark, isn't it? It tells you everything.
It really does. Honda is doing what Honda does best. The mechanical stuff, the platform, crash safety, putting it all together.
And Sony.
Sony's doing everything else. Everything that makes the car smart, they're in charge of the entire nervous system. The car's senses, its brain.
So if it's a pixel or a sensor or an algorithm, that's all Sony.
That's all Sony, which brings us right to the, you know, the main idea of the SDV, this constant learning.
Over-the-air updates? OTA.
Oh, right. The car you buy is never actually finished. It's always adapting to the world. And more importantly, it's adapting to your world in real time.
You know, one of the most interesting things we pulled from the research was this one specific example.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this. You live somewhere and it suddenly gets a ton of snow. You go to bed one night.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up the next morning and your car's suspension is now perfectly optimized for driving on snow and ice.
And you never took it to a mechanic.
Never. The car just got an update based on, what, weather data and its own sensors.
Exactly. Weather data, road sensor data, telemetry from the vehicle itself. It's a huge shift in how you think about a product.
It is.
You're not buying something that just starts losing value the second you drive it off the lot. You're basically subscribing to a platform that gets better over time.
But that does raise some questions, right? If it's a platform, what happens to resale value?
That's a huge question.
Or, you know, could a feature that you paid for suddenly disappear in 3 years because now it's behind a subscription paywall? This changes the whole economics of owning a car.
Oh, absolutely. The car is no longer just an asset. It's a service. And your relationship with the manufacturer is now continuous. It's not just a one-time transaction.
Okay, so the brain is constantly being updated. Let's talk about the body. Because the Fifila, it doesn't just move, it actually communicates.
Yeah, that media bar.
The display strip right on the front bumper.
It's the AI's face, really. It's how the car talks to the outside world. Pedestrians, other drivers, even you as you're walking up to it.
And it's pure spectacle. I mean, the reports say it can show anything from charging status to, I love this, PlayStation game themes.
That is pure Sony flexing its entertainment muscles, for sure.
But it had practical uses too, right? Like it can literally flash a message that says, please cross to a pedestrian.
It can. But what's so fascinating is how quickly a feature like that brings up a massive security problem.
A cybersecurity worry with the front bumper.
Absolutely. It opens the door to something the security experts are calling visual hacking.
Okay, hold on. Visual hacking, what does that actually mean?
Well, we're used to worrying about a hacker, you know, disabling the car's engine or something.
Right.
This is way more subtle. If someone gets control of that display, they could broadcast misleading signals to the humans around the car.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. Imagine a hacker makes the media bar show a giant flashing green light to a lane of traffic that actually has a red light.
You're weaponizing confusion.
Exactly. Or flashing false warnings at pedestrians to cause panic. The outside of the car is no longer just metal. It's a hackable digital surface.
That's a whole new level of risk. Suddenly, you need military-grade encryption for a bumper.
You really do.
Okay, so let's move inside, because if the outside is communicating, the inside is. It's a whole digital world. The sources say physical buttons are basically gone.
Almost extinct, yeah. It's all one giant panoramic screen across the whole dashboard.
And the really wild part isn't the size of the screen. It's the engine running the graphics.
This is where it gets really aggressive.
Yeah, here's where it gets really interesting. Sony partnered with Epic Games. The entire UI, all the graphics, it's all built on Unreal Engine 5.4.
The same engine that makes these, you know, blockbuster photorealistic video games.
For your GPS navigation screen.
Yeah.
It's not some flat, boring 2D map anymore.
Not at all. You're looking at a photorealistic 3D world. Your navigation is a hyper-real version of the road ahead of you, with real-time shadows, reflections, weather.
And Sony's goal here, according to the research, is pretty clear. They want to blur the line between reality and the metaverse right there in your car.
The idea is to make it so immersive that you forget you're sitting in traffic. You're not in a gridlock. You're just enjoying the digital view.
But that kind of graphics power, it must take a staggering amount of processing power.
Oh, it does. And that brings us to the beating heart of the Aphila.
Which is all coming from Qualcomm, their digital chassis architecture, and specifically the Snapdragon Ride Flex platform.
And the key here is consolidation. Traditionally, you'd have separate computers for infotainment, for driver assist, for autonomous driving.
All their own little boxes.
Right. The Flex platform puts all of it. Safety, driver monitoring, entertainment, all of it onto one central chip that has zero latency.
And the power stat we found for this system is, it's just nuts.
Yeah.
The car's processing power is something like 800 teraflops, TOPS.
That number is almost meaningless on its own. It's so big. So let's try to ground it.
Oh.
A PlayStation 5, a really high-performance gaming console, has about 10 teraflops of power.
So this car?
This car has the power of about 80 PlayStation 5s all running at the same time.
Why? Why on earth does a car need 80 gaming consoles worth of power?
That's the critical question. It's all about safety and doing everything at once instantly. That 800 TOPS is handling three incredibly heavy things simultaneously.
Okay, what are they?
First, it's taking in data from all 45 sensors and fusing it together in milliseconds. Second, it's running these huge generative AI models. And third, it's managing all the critical self-driving and driver monitoring systems.
And it all has to happen with no lag.
Zero lag. Because in a potential crash situation, 50 milliseconds is the difference between safety and disaster.
And speaking of that generative AI, they didn't just put in some simple voice assistant.
No, they partnered with Microsoft to integrate Azure OpenAI right into the core of the car.
So you get this digital agent.
Which is designed to go way beyond simple commands. It's meant to have natural conversations. It learns your habits, your commute, what you like.
And this is where it gets that nickname we saw in the reports, the psychologist car.
Yeah, because the agent is actively trying to figure out the driver's mood.
Yeah.
It listens to your voice, the tone, the speed you're talking. It even watches your facial expression through the interior cameras.
So it's constantly monitoring your emotional state.
Constantly. And it's designed to react. So if the AI senses you're getting stressed.
It doesn't just suggest a calming playlist.
No, the whole car changes. It will instantly soften the air suspension to make the ride smoother. It'll warm up the cabin lighting. It'll change the ambient music. The car is actively trying to manage your mood for safety and comfort.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And all of that relies on this massive sensor suite to make those calls, which kind of leads us from the comfort of the driver's seat right into this ethical minefield.
Yeah. What happens when the machine has to make a life or death choice?
But first, the hardware itself. The Aphila is all about redundancy.
45 different sensors, all checking each other's work.
And a big one, a really big one, is that they included LiDAR.
That's the laser system that builds a super precise 3D map of the world. It's a huge deal because some other big players, like Tesla, have actually removed LiDAR and are trying to rely only on cameras.
So Aphila is hedging its bets. LiDAR for precision, 12 cameras for 360-degree vision, plus all the normal radar and ultrasonic sensors.
And that safety net of sensors is what allows for true level 3 autonomous driving.
Okay, so for anyone listening, what does level 3 actually mean?
It means that in specific situations, like on a clear highway, you are legally allowed to take your hands off the wheel. You can watch a movie, you can work, the car is doing all the driving.
But you have to be ready to take over.
You have to be ready to take over if it asks you to. But the moment the machine is in charge of driving, the moral responsibility shifts. And that is where we run into what the research calls the legal vacuum.
And it raises that deeply troubling question.
The trolley problem.
Yeah.
It's not a philosophy class thought experiment anymore. It's a real problem that some programmer at Sony has to solve with a line of code.
So the classic scenario they lay out, a kid runs out into the road. There's no time to brake. The AI has to make a choice.
Hit the child Or swerve into a concrete wall, which would almost certainly kill you, the occupant.
A human being reacts on instinct. Panic, maybe. But the AI.
The AI executes a pre-programmed decision. And that code, by definition, has to assign a value to a human life. Does the code prioritize the occupant, the person who bought the car?
Or does it prioritize the pedestrian for the greater societal good?
And nobody has an answer. The tech is getting here before the laws and the ethical standards are in place. If the car saves the pedestrian but kills you, who gets sued? Cerny. Hanna. The programmer.
It's completely unresolved. And that's terrifying.
And even if you could solve the ethics, you still have the dark side of all this connectivity.
If a car is that smart, it's also a target. It's always online with 5G and eventually 6G.
Which opens it up to threats that old, dumb cars never had to worry about. The research detailed a couple of nightmare scenarios. First are the man-in-the-middle attacks.
Where they spoof the GPS signal.
Exactly. They feed the car false location data and can lead it somewhere dangerous without you even knowing.
But the really chilling one was the ransomware.
Oh, yeah. This leverages the SDV architecture directly. The Afila uses brake-by-wire.
So there's no physical connection from the brake pedal to the brakes?
None at all. It's just a digital signal. And that means a hacker could, in theory, lock up your brakes while you're doing 70 on the highway.
Wait, they could just lock the brakes?
Lock them or disable them completely and then send you a message demanding a Bitcoin payment to give you back control of your own car.
Yeah, it is a true nightmare scenario.
Sony promises military-grade encryption, but, you know, history shows us no system is ever truly unbreakable. It's a huge trade-off. You're trading convenience for a whole new kind of vulnerability.
It's such a surrender of your own agency. But, okay, let's pull back. With all this talk about AI and teraflops and cyber warfare, we have to remember it is still a car.
Right. It still has to obey the laws of physics.
Underneath all the code, there's steel and aluminum.
Exactly. And it's a high-performance EV. It's a dual-motor, all-wheel drive setup, making about 483 horsepower. It's quick.
And it's running on a 91-kilowatt-hour battery. Supports 150-kilowatt DC fast charging. Those are, you know, solid high-end EV numbers.
But look at the suspension. It's a double wishbone front, multi-link rear with an active air suspension system.
And that's the key, isn't it? The AI can only do its psychologist car trick.
If the physical components are good enough to respond, the code can't soften the ride if the suspension isn't incredibly precise and electronically controllable to begin with. The software only tunes with the engineering already made excellent.
So when we step back and look at the whole picture, what does this all mean? We have this technological marvel. It offers comfort, entertainment, safety features that are just off the charts.
But the price of admission is surrendering your own agency to the algorithm.
It really creates this fundamental tension, doesn't it? For someone who just hates traffic, who hates the grind of driving, the Afila must seem like a paradise on wheels.
It's your personal chauffeur, a digital agent that drives for you and even looks after your mood.
But for anyone who actually likes that connection to the road, who values the freedom to make your own choices, even the wrong ones.
For them, this is a gilded cage, a beautiful 800 teraflop cage, but a cage nonetheless, filled with 45 sensors watching you, predicting you, and deciding for you.
So when these cars really start hitting the road in 2026, you, the consumer, have a choice to make. Is it the comfort and perceived safety of the algorithm?
Or is it the messy, unpredictable, but essential freedom of human error?
The fundamental question is still out there. Are we ready to hand over the wheel to a system that will, at some point, have to make a moral choice for us, with no clear legal or ethical rules to guide it? That's your deep dive. Something to think about, maybe a little uncomfortably the next time you're stuck in traffic?